Well, sometimes when you're working out what you're going to preach on weeks in advance, it all seems fine. And then you come to actually preach on a part and you think, why did I choose that part? It's hard. It's easier when it's easy. And then you have people like Daryl encourage you not to open your Bibles. I'm going to encourage you to open your Bibles now. Please open them now. But bring another version, which is interesting though. It's actually quite helpful. We had a little chat about it beforehand. And I'm going to bring to you another reading as well. Not strictly a translation of this verse. And so the voice, as well as the message, as well as other translations as well, to think of even the NIV, they make decisions when they translate from the original language. And their decisions are going to be driven by something. And that's the interesting thing. When you think of what the gospel is and how we understand the gospel's huge. And there's been times where we've tried to shrink the gospel down into a tract, into a little leaflet so that we can share it with people. And that'll share elements of the gospel. But to share a complete gospel, well, the reality is I don't think any one human gets the whole complete gospel. There's parts of it that we just do not understand. There's parts of it we don't know. And then there's our own personal experience that we bring to the gospel. It's the same with understanding scripture at points. And the parables are an interesting thing. As the preamble that Daryl gave us about parables suggested, there's a depth to them. And there's this idea of having ears to hear. But I've got to say this. You could hear this parable that we're looking at this morning and walk away with something different to me as I hear it. And both of us could go to Jesus and say, well, Jesus, which one of us is right? And I think Jesus may well say, well, you're both right. He actually might also say, well, actually, awkward, you're both wrong. Or he might say, one of you is right and one of you is wrong. But there's complexities there, and we can both see truth and come away with something different. So just hold that this morning as we come to this idea of a lamp on a stand. Now, Daryl, I'm going to quote Daryl so often in my sermon this morning. Daryl said that this is not about interior decorating. Well, I've just given my preamble so I can say, well, it is. It's about interior decorating, but it's not. It's not about interior decorating. He's absolutely right. It's about something else. The interior decorating is, of course, the parable. It is the earthly stuff that Jesus is using to show something that is deeper. And so there's this idea of a lamp on a stand. So if we have a look at the parable itself, and I'm glad that so far nobody's question whether it's a parable. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. And I've asked the question, is this even a parable? It's just a parable, maybe. It's a really little parable, isn't it? It's really short. There's not a lot going on there. And that's another interesting thing. With the really short parables, like last week we looked at the parable of the sower, and Jesus even gives a lengthy understanding or explanation of the parable of the sower. Sometimes with a short one, it's actually harder to lock down what Jesus is saying. We've got less to work with, if that makes sense. But one of the things that I will just comment on straight up about this parable is that it's often considered to be a parable about evangelism. It's that idea that you have a light. You know Jesus, you know the gospel, you know that he's died for you and that through his death on a cross you have life and you've now been freed from death and will have eternal life. And so you don't hide that, you tell people. And so it's an evangelism parable. Now, I think that's true, but I think it's also just one way and maybe a simple way of looking at it, but I think it's true. So let's have a little bit more of a look at the parable. Now, first thing I want to say is that this parable finds itself in another gospel as well. But just for a moment, this is where it's helpful to have your Bible open. If you're open at the beginning of chapter 8, where we were last week, you'll see the heading in the Bibles that are in the seats. The parable of the sower. Remember, that's what we looked at last week, the parable of the sower. And then we got to the end of verse 15. At the end of verse 15, we finish the parable of the sower. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. This is finishing Jesus' explanation, I should say. Who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Then verse 16, no one lights a lamp. The interesting thing is that in Luke and in Mark's gospel, the parable of a lamp on a stand follows the parable of a sower. Which, just for a moment, so in Matthew's gospel it doesn't, but that's okay, because in all the gospels there's bits that are slightly different and some things miss. Like, for example, maybe it's not after the parable of the sower in Matthew's gospel because Matthew needed to go to the toilet. And so he missed that. We don't know. But the question I bring before you this morning is this actually a new parable that we're looking at? Or is it like a parable that helps with the parable that's just come? Can we link the parable of the sower to the parable of the lamp on a stand? Could it actually be one preaching event or teaching event from Jesus? Well, the interesting thing is there's a couple little signposts that suggest maybe it is. If you remember, just before Jesus gives the... after he's given the parable of the sower, but before he explains it, in verse 8, he says this, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," which we've been reminded of this morning. Listen carefully, Jesus says. And what do we find in the first part of verse 18 in our parable this morning? It says, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." There's a consistency there, but then again, Jesus also does that with many parables, doesn't he? But there's a hearing and a listening. But part of that is our key, I think, for these parables. Jesus doesn't say with every parable, "For those who have ears to hear, let them hear." But he does with some. And the parable of the sower was about that, wasn't it? The parable of the sower was about receiving the word, that is, we understood the seed, that was the word of God, that was Jesus, who he is as a person, as well as the gospel itself, the good news of Jesus Christ. Receiving that and allowing it to soak deeply and to take root within us. Do you remember the parable of the sower? That's what the seed was to do. And so you had to listen carefully, didn't you? It's not just a superficial listening and some sort of intellectual assent to the truth. It's a deep listening. It's a listening that allows the truth to permeate, to grow within us, to take root within us. And Jesus comes back to that with this new parable, the parable of the lamp on a stand. Consider carefully how you listen. I'm sorry, but that seems like a takeaway from the parable of the sower to me. Consider carefully how you listen, because there's different ways you can listen, like a rocky path, like a path that, or a soil that's surrounded by rocks or by weeds. Hearing and listening. I think in the time of Jesus, as a rabbi, hearing and listening meant more than just hearing words and going in one ear and out the other. And so he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him listen, let him hear." And then he follows it up by, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." And he goes on from there to say, "Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken from him." Make sure you're the right soil, if we were to link it back to the parable of the sower. It's interesting though, because the voice version that Daryl brought us this morning is interesting. What did he say? "I hope you're still listening." And then goes on to say, and you can see the difference there, "Consider carefully how you listen." Jesus in this version says, "I hope you're still listening." And he goes on to say, "And I hope you're listening carefully. If you get what I'm saying, you'll get more. If you miss my meaning, even the understanding you think you have will be taken from you." This goes back to the soil again, I think. If you're able to soak it in, if you can soak it in, then you'll get even more, because as I soak into your heart, something happens and you become more than who you were without me. there's a depth here, isn't there? There's a little bit more going on than just a straight evangelism parable. There's a reminder going back to the parable of the sower, if you were just to soak me in, that you will be more. But notice what Jesus also says, that if you don't, even what you think you understand is not really going to be worth a lot. It's going to be taken from you, as the Voice version says. I'll stop calling it Daryl's version. Sorry, Daryl. So just for a moment, let's bring these two parables together. Parable of the sower. The seed equals the word, we were told last week. Jesus explained it that way, that it was the word, and we understood the word. In its greatest sense, the greatest revelation of God surely for us has been Jesus. But it's not that Jesus is the only revelation of the word. But the parable of the light, perhaps the light also is Jesus, or is the word that has come to dwell within us. And so a proposed meaning, perhaps as we bring the parables together, no one puts Jesus on to hide him under the bed. Rather, they want to see him and see him work in their lives. That's one of the reasons for connecting with Jesus, because of who he is and how we were made to be connected to Jesus. When we do that, then we see a change within us as we see him work in us. That's formation type stuff. Then the last one there is the more the witness, or if you want to put it under evangelism type stuff, that we also want to see others see him working in us, or at least we want to see others also benefit from what we have benefited from. I want to give you a slightly different version to the Voice and to the NIV. It comes from Eugene Peterson's version called The Message. It's not a translation strictly, like The Voice, I think. It's designed more to read, but it also makes bigger decisions, I think. And so for The Voice, it said, "I hope you're carefully listening. If you get what I'm saying, you'll get more. If you miss out," it was all about the understanding of what Jesus is saying as to what it is you might get more of or get less of. In the NIV, it's "whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he has, thinks he has, will be taken from him." The Message says this: we're not keeping secrets. This is putting the light on the stand. We're not keeping secrets. We're going to live this openly. We're telling them. We're not hiding things. We're bringing everything out into the open. So be careful that you don't become misers of what you hear. Generosity begets generosity. Stinginess impoverishes. For Eugene Peterson, his little spin here, I think, is yes, soak in Jesus, but don't keep that to yourself. Like I said, you would surely want to see others benefit from Jesus the way you've been blessed by Jesus. If Jesus truly does come and dwell in us and truly does make a difference in us, why would we hide that? Surely that's something that we want, especially those closest to us, to benefit from. And so I want to suggest that this is about living as someone who is filled with Jesus in a way that lives and shares Jesus' love, light, and life. It's about abiding in Jesus and, as Jesus would say, bearing much fruit. As others come to know Jesus' love, as they see his love working in you, it's living and sharing the good life of Jesus. I was really struck by Psalm 16:11 this week, which just came before me at one point. I loved its description of the way God works in our lives. And it says this, I'm on the right one, yep. "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." There's this picture, isn't it, of what it is to walk with the Father in that deep, intimate connection where he has put his roots down into your heart. "You will fill me with the joy in your presence." One of the things that's often been said that is one of the signs that we see and know and understand of God being in somebody is joy. We often see love as being a sign of maturity in growing in God and your relationship and connection with him. But one of the things that seems to flow out of a deep and close connection to God is joy. a pleasure in life that comes from knowing him. This parable, I think, is saying that's got to be something that you put out there, not something that you just hide within. In fact, if you hide it within, that's something that is going to impoverish yourself as well as others. And so if we put the two parables together, and I hope this is making sense, and whether or not you want to agree that this was all part of one teaching or not, there is an abundant life available in Jesus if we deeply abide in him. That's foundational to the parable of the sower. And for the parable and the lamp, that abundant life will be seen by us and others through the way we live. So how do we step into this? How do we lean into this? How do we provide? How can we throw fertilizer on the word as it takes root within us? Well, this is something that I go on about a fair bit, I guess. And the danger of that is that you might go, oh, he's going to go on about that again. And it may be something that we even build resistance up to with regards to if we keep hearing it again and again. But I want to encourage you this morning how you will abide in Jesus this week, today, this month, over this year in 2024, over the next 5 years or however long it might be until you see him face to face. How will you abide in Jesus? And the interesting thing is that sometimes with one presentation of the gospel that is often quite common, which is very true, that Jesus died for my sins and if I would just believe in Jesus, I will not die but have eternal life and go to heaven. John 3:16 in a nutshell. One of the problems, or the shortcomings, I guess, of that simply as the gospel is that it suggests that there isn't a need for a deep, maturing and growing walk with Jesus. Or indeed, that that's just something that happens in the next life. But to go back to Psalm 16:11, would you not like a little bit more joy in your life now? I would. And so there's this guy who I found something that he wrote this week, Danny Anderson. He quotes Dallas Willard, who I love as well, in this. But this is what he says. It's a bit of a quote, so I'll just read through it, but hopefully you get the idea of what he's saying. He says, "You cannot become more aware of his presence without quieting your soul." Dallas Willard said, "Hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life." Danny Anderson goes on to say, "You need time and space to hear God clearly. And when we are always on the go, moving from task to task, with the earbuds in, email open, television blasting, and social media buzzing, God is left in the background. Listen to what Jesus did according to Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Why was it solitary? Simply, he was removing the distractions so that he could focus on God. You and I should do the same at least once a day, if not more. And then we need to do it for extended times. And it's during these times when we can hear and sense God more clearly." Did you notice what Danny Anderson is actually helping us with here? He uses the word at the beginning, and he uses the word at the end. It's about hearing. It's about hearing. What has Jesus said? Oh, if you would hear. Be careful how you listen. I want to encourage you with one truth. You cannot hear enough from Jesus. You cannot get to a point where you need to be. You can say, I can stop listening now. You can't get to a place in your life where you can say, I don't have too many distractions now. There was this movement in church history, the monastic movement, where people really took this seriously and removed themselves from the cities and went out into the desert and into communities all by themselves. I want to encourage you to be, it's very hard to be the light on a stand if you do that. So we need to work out how we do this for each one of us. I can't tell you how to do it. I can't tell you how much time. I can't tell you the best time of day. I can't tell you those things. But I want to encourage you in this truth that there is rich, abundant life, and it's found in Jesus. And so listen to him. The question for you to consider is, will you make time to grow in this reality this week? And how will you do that? But I would encourage you not to put it off, not to wait for a month or 6 months or another year if you haven't got a plan. I'd encourage you now, today, because this is a daily thing. It's a daily walk. This isn't about going to a fire hydrant to get a drink once a year and blasting yourself with a fire hydrant. It's about how every day we drink. Every day we drink. It's actually the most important thing. For emphasis, one more time. This is the most important thing. Your connection with the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his teaching. We thank you for his encouragement to us. And I just pray that you would help us with our listening. Open our ears, open our minds and our will, open our feelings and our emotions, open our hearts to what you might say. Lord, help us each to have a time, a space, a regular time and space where we quiet the world so that we can hear you better, where we come into your presence, where we allow you to speak, where we listen to you. And we allow your love and your grace to soak deeply into our hearts so that the world might see you more clearly through your presence in us. In Jesus' name, amen.